1440 is KHCK AM and HC. KNCI HC3 Sacramento on CBS Radio Station. This is Sports 1140 KHCK. Your welcome to Sports 1140 KHCK.
Good morning, good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Rev your engine.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and back.
Attacking one of the mill morning shows.
With Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Katie Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Well, what do you think, Nate?
He's speechless.
What's up, Nate? Oh, Nate. We barely knew you. We've had a lot of Nate-less shows lately. Last week, with Grant out.
Yeah, but this is something he had scheduled, unfortunately. Yeah. And he gave me a ride home yesterday from the draft party, and he's like, man.
I know.
I wish I was going to be at work tomorrow. There's lots to talk about.
There is. How's your guys' developing romance? Say, budding.
It's a budding romance.
It's a budding romance.
Whatever. Wasn't it yesterday we were talking about, hey, Nate, when's your wedding?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's just make that clear.
Right. That's fine. Hey, welcome in. It's The Drive. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
Gosh, as you can tell by the tone of Dave's voice, his mind is still blown.
You know how, like, if you watch a TV show, like a serial, like Lost or something like that.
Serial or a series?
Aren't serials the ones that, like, will sometimes have, like, the plot points that continue over multiple shows?
Yeah, it goes different.
Whatever. You watch a drama on TV. But then, like, maybe a couple times a season, They'll have a show that you can cookie cutter out of the normal plot points, right? And that's like its own special standing show. So I feel like today is going to be kind of a different program than normal, because we're not really going to dink around today at all with anything. The normal stuff that I tend to throw out there that's completely pointless and silly. This is about the NBA draft, and obviously the high focus will be on the Sacramento Kings. Jay just got in my ear about sound excited, and he's right. But, I mean, he's right. But this is one of those days where it's really, I started out as a caller to the station as a Kings fan, and no matter how radio-y I try to be, I'm still kind of a fan at heart. And this is one of those days.
Kind of? You are. You are a fan.
Yeah, I'm super absolutely. Fan 99. So it's going to be really hard for me today to get into broadcasting mode and not just really have a conversation with the fan base and obviously you and I, but I think that's kind of our job today. And sometimes I think it's the most, not to overstate our purpose. It's not us. It's not Katie and Dave, but I think the radio station can sometimes serve the listeners the best as almost being a gathering place for therapy with this team.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to come in and blowtorch as I wanted to last night, very honestly. I'm not going to come in and just pour gasoline all over the franchise and light it on fire for one main reason. I thought Thomas Robinson was a home run pick. I was at Arco Arena when they drafted Peja, and I wanted, along with the rest of the crowd, John Wallace out of Syracuse. I will never forget that day.
Right.
I did not know who the hell Hideki Turkoglu was. And Hedo ended up being just fine. We could do a full hour on simply draft picks I screwed up on, much less the rest of our fan base, who also overwhelmingly wanted George Karl 2 years ago. The point there is that on draft day, there are no absolutes, and we don't know. Odds are there was an all-star pick between 20 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who it is. And odds are there was at least one, if not two, guys that are going to be in the D League in 4 years that was picked between in the lottery.
Right.
So there's that.
Here's what we do know, however. I think we can pretty much agree on what the Kings' needs are. Let's leave the draft out of this for just a moment. We can agree on what the Kings' needs are. They need a point guard.
Yes.
And they need some shooting guard help.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. Yes, they do. And now,
having agreed on that, I pose the question to you.
Sure.
Were those needs addressed?
No. You could say Malachi Richardson, who they drafted
from
Syracuse, number 22, mm-hmm. with part of it with the pick they got from Charlotte. And by the way, we should also recap. We assume, because we're so involved, that every single person listening knows everything that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
The day started out, I thought, fantastic when Marco Bellinelli, who had made it clear in the European papers that he did not really want to be here. And I don't necessarily blame the guy. I'm not going to get all high and mighty. Guess what?
The Kings shouldn't have wanted him here either.
Sure.
He had a recordly just dismal season last year.
Yeah.
Really did.
Yeah.
And I understand it. I get it. I said from the very beginning, once the season started to unfold, he didn't fit into this system. He's a shooter that is, career-wise, shoots a very, very nice clip from the three-point line. That is why they brought him in, and he shot a career low last year. I got it right here. I think he shot around like 30%, and he's just under 37% on his career from deep range. And so I didn't think that the system fit him. He took so many bad shots, because the reality was he was in a situation to create shots, and that's not what he is. He's a spot-up shooter. Bring him off of you know, picks, you know, swing picks along the baseline, give him some corner shot, whatever. Give him opportunities to score. That did not happen in George Karl's system. I don't know if it would have happened in Dave Yeager's system.
To be fair, we don't know what this year's system is going to be.
I have no idea. But I think after having a year like he did last year, I also can't blame him for saying, hey, this isn't the place for me.
So they flipped him and his brand new contract for the number 22 pick in the draft, and we're off to the races.
Yep.
So this is how we believe the night broke down.
Oh, by the way, his career average is almost 38%.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah, so there's those numbers. Doesn't matter. Shot 30% from the three-point line last year.
So the Kings wanted to trade up. They wanted to trade up and most likely grab Chris Dunn or Buddy Hield.
Right.
So part of the reason they grabbed that 22, they were trying to flip and grab assets to move up.
Right.
So they have the 8, they have the 22. We have no idea if there was also a player involved, and they made attempts to move up in the draft and grab their guy.
Mm-hmm.
They were turned down.
Yes.
So then they went to
Dunn went fifth to Minnesota, and Buddy Hield went sixth to the Pelicans.
So at that point, they're sitting on the 8 pick, and they had their guy in mind, or maybe more to the point, whoever was at 8, they didn't really feel was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they did what I think is the right thing. They traded down and acquired more assets. So they trade down with Phoenix. They grab the number 13 pick. They grab the number 28 pick, and they grab a guy who was picked, I believe, 27th last year in Bogdan Bogdanovic, who will play another year over in Europe.
Right. And then they had acquired that number 22 pick from the Marco Bellinelli trade with Charlotte.
Okay. So now you have all these picks.
Yes.
And I think that was the right move.
At
that point of the draft, I was very excited.
You had your plan A. You
yes.
were trying to trade up to
yes.
get Buddy Hield or Chris Dunn. Didn't work out.
Didn't
go
work
to plan
out.
B.
You go to plan B. You move down. You're mobile. You've got stuff going on. Also, remember, too, Marco Bellinelli being traded saved them cap space.
Absolutely. He was set to make, it was a, what, he was under a three-year $19 million deal. And I think he had like around 6 each season for the remaining 2 years.
I think I saw somewhere when you factor in the set, because with draft picks, you know what their salary is going to be.
Exactly. Not,
and that's especially important because the draft pick salary didn't really change with the new cap. So you have these players that are locked in essentially for 4 years should the team want them to. 3 years and then a team option for a fourth. They're locked in at a value that is could very potentially be way, way lower than what market value is. So I understand that. I think they ended up clearing, including all three picks and what they would make at the set first round value, just under $4 million in cap space. That's significant.
Yeah.
So at that point, they had traded Bellinelli. They got in the 22. They traded the 8, and they got the 13 and the 28 mm-hmm. and Bogdanovich. Right there at that point, I'm sitting on a B+, A- for Vlade. You're flipping assets.
Right.
Good job. And then Adam Silver walked to the podium and
with the 13th pick.
The Phoenix Suns, remember, were drafting for the Sacramento Kings. That's
with the 13th pick in the 2016 NBA draft, the Phoenix Suns select Yorgos Papayannis. From Megara, Greece. He last played for Panathinaikos in Greece.
Huh.
Yeah.
I can too. You're just Papagiannis.
No. Nah. It's very nice, Dave. That's really good Greek.
Yornos Papalopoulos.
Here's where my Greek roommate came in handy last sure. night. I'm like, hey, take a look at this. Oh, so she's like, oh yeah, Papayannis.
Ah, Papayannis.
Papayannis. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, okay. I pronounce it Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Okay. So I had to look this guy up. Obviously, you know,
sure.
nobody knows.
Which
anything
is always
about
good
him.
When you have to look up your
13th
lottery pick.
Right. Yes, exactly. So let's see here. He's 7'2".
Okay.
Center.
Yeah.
We've got a center, got a couple.
We'll get to that in a second.
And he's 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
He was projected to be a second round pick or go undrafted.
Anywhere between, I've seen as high as 22.
Yeah.
And
depends
right
on which site you look at.
The
absolutely.
Average is somewhere in the 40s.
Not a lottery pick.
No.
Basically is
no.
the point.
No.
But I want to say, yeah, like when you look at the things, you know, you can look up kind of what these guys, their pros and cons are, so on and so forth, right?
Sure.
Obviously, 7'2" is a positive. This is what it says. Huge, strong big man. Can score both with his back to the basket and facing. Good hands, excellent rebounder. The negatives. Lacks elite athleticism. Not a good motor. Lacks toughness. Those are our positives and negatives of a 7'2", 18-year-old center from Greece.
Yeah, Katie, but then you look at how that actually translates on the floor,
right.
and you can be buoyed by the fact that last year...
I mean, he's 18. I understand that. He's young. This is okay, so are you saying with your 13th pick, your lottery pick, that you're going to take a project that likely would have been there at that 22 spot or that 28 spot? Because, Dave, at that point, who went next at 14?
Well, let me make my point here. And what I was saying is you can be buoyed by the fact that last year he averaged 5.5 points and 2.5 boards in 10 minutes. So that's good.
Playing in Greece. Yeah.
So, I mean, when I see those types of numbers, I think lottery pick.
Right.
I mean, who wouldn't? Mm. 10 minutes off the bench. That screams lottery pick to me.
Yeah. So this is the thing. And I'm not saying that this kid is not going to end up being a serviceable NBA player. Whenever you have a 7'2" center, that's a positive thing. However, it goes back to the beginning of our conversation, Dave, where have you addressed with your highest pick in the draft your immediate needs?
No.
Because I'm telling you, this guy was going to be there later. He was going to be there at the 22 or the 28.
And we'll hear from Vlade Divac later. He spoke late last night. A lot of you probably didn't hear it. We'll play Vlade, and we'll play him here in a few minutes, and then we'll re-rack him in the 8 o'clock hour. And you'll hear him say at one point, yeah, we had to grab him. We heard a rumor that somebody else was going to, you know, draft him before we got to the 22.
I want to throw out two names.
Sure.
That were available between the Kings' 13th pick and 22nd pick. Names that were on not only our radar, but the Kings' radar.
Uh-huh.
At number 14 to the Bulls, Denzel Valentine.
Yep, that was my guy.
That was the guy.
That was the guy I thought they were going to choose.
Number 17 to the Memphis Grizzlies, Wade Baldwin IV.
Yeah, a guy
from
Vanderbilt. Guy in the top 30 that they actually did get in for a workout that everyone said worked out fantastically. By the way, he's a point guard.
Point guard.
Yeah, he's a point guard.
Point guard. Which we kind of discussed yesterday and this week that that spot has become even more interesting for the Kings, the point guard position, because not only was Rondo on a one-year deal and there's no telling what's going to happen there, Seth Curry also opted out of his deal. We have no idea what's going to happen there. That leaves one player on your roster at the point guard position, and that is Darren Collison.
Well, that's fine.
Yes, except for the fact that there's some other looming things off the court that could affect what happens. So are you going to potentially be in a situation right now where you might not have a single point guard on your roster next year?
I'm pretty sure they'll have a point guard on their roster next year. The question is, who will that be?
Oh, yes.
And what are they going to scrap up? The way I saw the trade yesterday, or the way I saw the draft yesterday, is very simple in my mind, which is convoluted and probably the way I'm going to say it. Is like if you were walking around with a nice pair of legs that were toned and muscular, but you didn't have any arms. And so you armlessly walk into a hospital and they offer you some implants so that you can have functioning arms.
Yes.
And you tell the doctor, thanks for the offer, but I'm going to grab this brand new pair of Nikes. And you walk out with a nice shiny pair of Nikes on your legs with no arms. And that's kind of how I feel the Kings drafted yesterday. I don't necessarily have an issue. I mean, Papagiannis, I think they could have gotten later. I'll tell you this. If they had come out of the draft with Denzel Valentine, Malachi Richardson and Skyle Labissiere, I would have been completely okay. Fine. I would have been over the moon with that. Good job. Great draft. But the fact that they reached so far on this dude, and now, by the way, I asked a question last night to a couple people close to the organization. They all said the same thing. Ryan Anderson's still your top free agent target. Nothing's changed. And you wonder why. You wonder why you have your franchise centerpiece, whether you like him or not. DeMarcus Cousins is the franchise centerpiece, praying to the gods on Twitter. We'll get into that when we get back. We want your reaction, too. Katie and I don't want to yammer all day long about this, though we will.
We really want to hear what you, the fans, feel about this.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, 44-1140 on the text. And you're already texting in strong. We'll get to some of those next as we grade and discuss the Kings draft yesterday. And, yeah, we will get to some other teams as well. World Be Free is going to join us later on in the program. He's going to talk specifically about the Philadelphia draft, former player. We'll go all around the bend here, but the focus obviously is on your Sacramento Kings. We'll take a break. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. I just retweeted a poll I put out last night. Did the Kings, A, improve, B, get worse, C, utterly blow it? Just under 1,500 votes in. 66% say they utterly blew it. 9% say they got worse. 25% said they improved.
I'm going to propose a new post for this morning on the show.
Okay.
Because the reaction that I'm getting on Twitter is kind of mixed. You've got kind of the side that says, you know what, I don't understand it, they blew it, so on and so forth. And then I've also got the side saying, hey, I trust in this process. I trust in Vlade. I have faith in his ability. So I want to know after this draft, I mean, this is going into, you know, the second year for Vlade Divac at the kind of helm of this ship. I want to know after this draft if your opinion on him has changed, your faith in him, has it decreased? Has it increased? Has it stayed the same?
I think that's a very fair question. We talked about this last night out at Firestone. By the way, thanks to Firestone, Grant Napier and that whole crew and all of you especially that came out. It was a fun evening regardless, and everyone was well taken care of. We all had a blast.
And in all fairness, I got to say this, you know, as we try to make sense and dissect the Kings draft and kind of the moves that they made. And Dave, we talked in the first segment about this was plan B. Their first plan was to go and try and trade up
sure.
for Chris Dunn or Buddy Hield, who went 5-6. So after that happened, you know, you start acquiring, you know, other picks, which is a solid plan.
Yeah.
But then I think the picks that were made is kind of where the question mark comes in. And so there's, you know, Scott on Twitter right now says, you guys are so down in the dumps this morning. I'm going to hold off judgment until the offseason moves are over. Now, in all fairness, that's a valid point.
Sure.
Because, we can sit here and dissect the draft. And you said in the last segment how when Peja was drafted, Hedo Turkoglu, that you're like, oh, my gosh, what are they doing? You also were high on, and we all know how that turned out.
Thomas Robinson.
No, I'm saying
with Paige and Hedo.
And then that you were so high on Thomas Robinson.
Yes.
And then obviously we know how that worked out.
Yes.
So, yes, we have no way right now. I think the major kind of point of contention right now is using your lottery pick for an 18-year-old center from Greece. And you've acquired a couple foreign players, that one of which in Bogdanovich is not going to be here again this year. I mean, he was drafted by Phoenix last year in the first round. And as it works with foreign players, and I don't know if fans understand this, they have a period of time where they can hold out after being drafted, and that affects their salary once they do come into the NBA. The longer they hold out, the higher their salary will be. Do you have a better understanding of that, a way to break that down?
Do I?
It's like I think it's like 0 to 6 years.
Yeah, it's convoluted, but there's a lot of money issues, good and bad, when it comes to bringing somebody back from overseas.
Right.
Bogdanovich, for example, is expected to come over, not this coming season, but the following season. And Vlade mentioned that was something because he anticipates not having the first round pick next year.
Right.
That kind of in effect maybe gives them at least a new rookie to come in.
And let's keep this in mind too. And I think this is fair to say, Bogdanovich is Serbian.
Yes.
And so there's a Serbian player that the Kings have acquired the rights to in Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, is a shooting guard.
Yeah.
And then also a Greek player.
Uh-huh.
Peja is obviously got great connections in Greece. And so I don't know, when I saw that Bogdanovich was coming yesterday and that he did not play last year, and I get it, this happens. We saw it with Ricky Rubio is a perfect example. He was in that draft with Tyreek Evans, and I was at the draft that year, and he was not a happy camper. He did not want to be picked to go to Minnesota. He held out, I think, for a couple years before he came to the league. He's a very solid NBA point guard. So this guy could potentially be a player.
Could be.
And who knows? Does Vlade, because of his connections and who he is, he's a god in Serbia. Could that have some sway that maybe other teams didn't have?
Maybe. I mean, they're all good points.
But, I mean, yes, we're unpacking the draft right now, Dave. And, I think it's fair to point out and say, hey, we understand that we've got free agency to look towards. There's a lot of moves to be made during the summer, but we're sitting here analyzing the draft.
Yeah. We're sitting here I think when you unpack it and you look at the bottom line, I think the at least for me, the right word is dumbfounded.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't have a problem with the picks in the 20s. In fact, I'm more excited about that. I'm literally more excited about Isaiah Cousins than I am about.
Yeah, taken at 59.
Right. I think they got good value at Malachi Richardson. I think they got good value with Scal Labissiere. I think they did. Those are fine picks. Those are value picks. But we go back to two things. Number one, could you have gotten Papianis in the 20s, of which you had two shots?
Yeah.
And number two, why are you, again, with Ryan Anderson at the top of your free agent board, why are you drafting two big men?
Exactly.
When that is literally the only solid core of the team you have, Willie Cauley-Stein and DeMarcus mm-hmm. Cousins. Rudy Gay is, by all intents and purposes, not going to be here next year. It's stranger things have happened, but if I'm betting money right now, I'm betting it all on the fact that Rudy Gay is not going to be here next year. So you have issues at the 1, the 2, and the 3. So what did you do? You drafted 4s and 5s, with the exception of Malachi Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even including Isaiah Cousins. Whatever. Cousins, that's fine. So, that's my problem, it doesn't fill a need. So then now you have this already fragile fan base just praying for hope. Oh, yeah, and then after the pick gets made, your superstar tweets out, "Lord, give me the strength."
Well, and I know that people are going to have a ton of reactions to that, but I think that he handled that well, and I'll explain it when we come back.
We'll be back. We continue this with your phone calls at 339-1140. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHCK.
I miss the earth so much.
I see you, Jay. I see what you're doing. It is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Join KHDK for the 2016 USA Rugby Summer Series this Saturday, starting at 7, Bonnie Field. Watch Team USA take on Russia. Good. Kicked their asses. I didn't know it was Russia. I hate Russia. The whole peace between us thing, I never caught on. Gorbachev said, you know, he tore down the wall. No, they're still our enemy. They're still our enemy. Russia.
You know what? We're not alone in that.
No.
I think several people feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I was raised. Screw you, Russia. It's like that. Russia's like the Lakers of the world. I don't care. Even if
you went there.
Well, I'm just saying, even if Russia was down in the dumps like the Lakers are, there's still always that rivalry.
You
just
know
telling you.
You know what's so exciting about draft day?
Ah.
You mentioned the Lakers.
Yeah.
Is that there's so many things that are floating around. And you remember what was floating around yesterday?
I sure do.
There might be, at least I don't know what the case is today, but during the draft party yesterday, there was a rumbling of something between the Kings and the Lakers. And obviously we know that Vlade has a relationship with that organization,
sure,
that franchise, and has for years, involving a number two pick in the draft last year.
Said the Kings were engaged in quite a few trades over the week. And one of the players they were talking to is D'Angelo Russell. Now, here's the thing about that. One of the players they were talking about is D'Angelo Russell. That could have been like, hey, will you take the 8th pick for D'Angelo Russell? No. Oh, okay, thank you. There you go. They just had talks about D'Angelo Russell. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea.
But here's the thing, and this is as we're trying to understand this, and yesterday people were tweeting, asking me what I think. And here's the reality. I don't know yet. And where I can say, like, there's some things that baffle me, I'm really hoping that the next several days will bring some clarity. And I think that as the summer develops, the draft will make more sense.
You hope.
Yeah, you hope. I mean, that's
the hope.
And that is the hope.
You can't truly grade Vlade on the offseason until the first day in that new arena when we know what the roster is going to be.
And here's the one thing that I know, and this is where I actually have a little faith in this sense. I know that if you're comparing Pete D'Alessandro and Vlade Divac right now as general managers, you know that Vlade's coming under some fire right now, because a lot of people are confused with kind of the moves that they made in the draft, specifically taking a 7'2" center from Greek, 18-year-old player in Papayannis at the 13 spot, right?
Yes.
But the difference between Pete and Vlade, he didn't care. He's not going to crumble. He's not going to get freaked out by what people are saying on social media.
That's true.
Not going to dictate his plans.
That's true.
Whether or not we understand it right now, and we're going to play some sound from Vlade a little bit later.
Right.
And maybe that will help us understand. He spoke to the media late last night, actually, after I think I was in bed for sure.
Yeah, we've got that sound.
Yeah. But
you know who else?
It's not going to matter.
But you know who else didn't care? David Kahn. You know who else didn't care? Sam Hinkie. I admire Vlade's cojones.
Yep.
I do. I absolutely do. But you don't have room for error with this team. And I just sincerely hope. You know, this guy on the text line says, hey, guys, none of these guys are going to help the Kings next year. What will is free agent signings. Let's let Vlade finish the process. And I agree with the beginning and I agree with the end.
Yeah.
You really think, you really counting on this place being a great free agent destination? And do we want to go through the list of free agents that they've grabbed lately and grade them?
Well, and it's interesting because you mentioned in the last segment that even after the draft, it appears as if from the rumblings that you're hearing with your sources and whatnot, that Ryan Anderson is still their top target in free agency. And guess what? He's not a point guard or a shooting guard either.
You know, he certainly isn't. And that's over half your cap space right there. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Gary in Folsom, you're on the drive.
Hey, Dave, I heard a lot of your comments last night and some for the last 10 minutes this morning. I think you're pretty spot on. And I'm wondering, does any of this make sense unless the plan is to trade DeMarcus Cousins?
I'll answer it like this, Gary. I think, and sense, we're going to put sense in quotes for these purposes, okay? I think it makes a lot more sense looking at this draft if you are trading DeMarcus Cousins. And I can tell you I'm not the only one who thinks that. There are people that believe in and out of the organization that last night was a precursor to a possible DeMarcus Cousins trade down the road. And if you take emotion out of it and you go, well, why are they? Weird. That's weird. They have Willie Cauley-Stein. They have DeMarcus. So why are they drafting a 7'2" project at 18? Why are they drafting Kyle Labissiere, who's 6'11"? And why are they targeting Ryan Anderson? Those are all three bigs to go with Kostakoufos. Why are they doing this?
Well, is he 6'11"? Labissiere is 7 foot.
Well,
he's a seven footer.
He's six. It depends on where he was grabbed. 6'11", 7 foot, whatever. It's an inch. Number one, number two. He's the at the combine. He was 6'10½" in socks. He was 6'11½" in shoes.
Uh-huh.
But then I think it's the Adidas or the Nike camp. He was 7 foot. Yeah. Anyways. Yes, Gary, you're 100% correct. If you take emotion out of the equation, last night's draft has more logic to it if this is a precursor to a DeMarcus Cousins trade.
Well, you know, and if you know, I know Grant thinks very highly of Lottie's basketball sense, and honestly, I do too. I think it's been demonstrated over the years, not necessarily in this capacity, but if he is on his game, it's the only thing that makes sense. This has to be the plan. And he has to be looking at this team and saying, hey, we're not a step away from the playoffs. We're in a rebuilding mode, and we just need to completely retool. And I think it's he laid his cards out on the table. I'll be shocked if it's anything different.
One quick thing I want to add, Katie, to Gary's point. I talked to a handful of people in the organization last night and was not screaming, but basically asking the same question Gary was, which was
right. –
So when are we trading DeMarcus? Mm-hmm. This is what's happening. Every single person said the same thing. I've heard absolutely nothing about trading DeMarcus opposite.
So here's the thing, though. For the first time ever, coming out of last season and kind of heading into a new year, a new arena, like all of these things.
Sure.
More now than ever has it even been kind of brought to light that it is potentially a possibility. Mm-hmm. Like they've tried this route for a while now, and DeMarcus has been here for what, 6 seasons, and they haven't gotten to the playoffs. And so obviously your two-time All-Star center and DeMarcus Cousins, who I think is the best big man in the league. And that is an unbiased opinion. Yes, I cover the Kings. But I have no loyalty to them in terms of fan base and so on and so forth. He's the best big man in the league. If you can't make it work with him as an organization, you have to start asking yourself, how long do we allow this to go on? Now they're going into another year with another head coach. Say you get to the trade deadline in February and things just aren't working out. I think now more than ever, they have it in their mind that yes, there's a time limit on this now, whereas before it's like the ride or die. And I get that. When you're Sacramento and we talk about free agency and so on and so forth, and at the top, I've got people talking to me, you know, oh, we got to go grab Mike Connolly. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later.
Right.
But the reality is it is super difficult to attract high-level free agents to this city, to this organization. And you can't fault them for what has happened here the last several years in this organization.
No.
So the only way you get better, Dave, is trades in the draft.
Yeah, the only way you get better is by forcing people to come here and then hoping they like it once
yes.
they're here. And that's
and
kind
that
of been the rule.
You can create a winning environment that makes them want to stay.
John, you're on the drive.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things that I really wanted to get across, we were on the Kings board last night. We were watching the draft, and I actually had you and Grant on the radio. The only thing that I can really say is I don't think there are too many people happy about the draft, but I think at the end of the day, there's got to be more to this. They're not going to keep as many bigs as they have. They traded away Marco. So the shooting has gone, you know, they didn't have good shooting last year, but we all know that their biggest, you know, their most pressing needs are shooting and guards. There's got to be more to this. And so I'm going to wait, and I'm not going to judge Vlade just on last night, because I think there's got to be more moves that are in the works or that are going to happen, because I think we all know you can't start the season with, you know, the current makeup that we have. I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
It pencil out.
Yeah, John, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And no, if the season started tomorrow, then we would all be, you know, pulling our hair out right now. But you look at this draft and there's some things that you're just left scratching your head about. But we also know we've got free agency to look into. And Dave, we were talking about the free agency and Mike Connolly. Well, I was reading yesterday, Mike Connolly is going to be a one of those guys that several teams are looking for. And obviously with Dave Yeager, who coached Mike in Memphis, we talked to him. They have a great relationship. Relationships only go so far.
Mike Connolly's not coming to Sacramento.
Yeah, so let me break down who is interested in Mike Connolly.
Why don't you do that when we get back, because we're going to bring in Vlade on, too. Not Vlade Live, Vlade from last night. We'll lead off, though, and you give us those Connolly numbers. It's a Drive Sports, 1140 KHDK.
Aww. Ooh, you know what, Jay? I needed that this morning. I think we all needed it.
Flashback Friday.
I'm going to drop the message.
That's right.
Message.
I've been dropping the message all morning.
We've been underserving the text line. We promise we'll clean you up here in the 7 o'clock or next in the 7 o'clock. But I do always like snark texter who, like, wakes up, is in a bad mood, probably like me usually in the morning, doesn't listen to the show. Here's this guy. Just tuned in. I can't wait to hear you try and spin something positive about what was – the most humiliating draft night for this franchise. Brother, you didn't listen to this hour.
No.
Just close your mouth. There's a reason why God gave you two ears and one mouth, okay? Shut up, listen, figure it out, because that's certainly not happening.
I just want this poor texter to realize this, since you probably did not hear the first, you know, 50 minutes of this show.
Yeah.
This is the most snarky and bitter and irritated I've ever seen Dave, and I've known you for years now.
You had Mike Connolly.
Yeah, Mike Connolly. So here's the thing. Obviously, he's somebody that the Kings fans have had their eye on for a while. And you know what? So have a lot of teams.
Sure.
Because he's a hell of a point guard. And I think that he has been an underrated point guard in this league in terms of recognition and all-stars and so on and so forth.
I've had my eye on Kate Upton for like 10 years too, by the way. I just want to put that out there. I've scouted her. I think she'd do really well at my house.
Okay.
Doesn't
mean
it's going to happen.
There's that.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
So there's a couple teams. Now, here I was reading something yesterday. Dallas is one of the teams that is strongly targeting him. In fact, they have made Mike Conley and Hassan Whiteside their two primary targets in free agency this year. And it's interesting, obviously he's in Memphis and Memphis has his bird rights. So they can, if Memphis were to make Mike Conley an offer, they can offer him a 5-year, $153 million contract to stay in Memphis, which holy balls.
Right.
$153 million. Jay, what were you saying yesterday when we were talking about this? You mentioned a couple players back in the day that got big contracts, and that blew our mind then.
Yeah, I remember the times when Juwan Howard, I believe he got 121. KG got upwards of that. Rashard Lewis stole some money. He played okay. He had a couple of All-Star games.
In hindsight, he stole some money. Yeah.
But, I mean, he stole the money. Remember, we were looking at $110 million, $121 million astronomical numbers.
Yeah.
We couldn't believe these guys were getting it.
Yeah.
$153 for Mike Conley Jr. That's Woo! Crazy.
I have a cover of a Sports Illustrated from the 80s that was freaking out because Ricky Henderson got a $3 million contract.
Right.
Yeah.
Which $1 million he didn't cash.
I have an idea that I think would make a little bit of sense, especially with the cap figures, because here's the problem. $140 million 5 years ago is not what it is now.
Yeah.
Not in real life. So here's what we should start doing. You know what? Awesome. Once a year, I have a good idea. I'm a stupid person, but once a year, I think I come through. I think instead of talking about, hey, how much does DeMarcus Cousins make a year? He makes $15 million a year. You know what I think we should start doing? How much does DeMarcus Cousins make a year? He makes 10%. Hey, how much does Mike Conley make per year? He makes 14%. I think instead of talking about how much somebody makes in a year, I think we should start referring them as a percentage of the cap limit.
Like that.
Because that's going to allow us to adjust in our brains for that.
Yeah.
Whereas Mike Conley may be making what Russell Westbrook was making last year if you line it up with percentages of cap.
Okay, well, I like that. But to get back to... So we talked about what Memphis can offer him, obviously.
Yes.
If Dallas were to be able to sway him, it would be somewhere in the proximity of a four-year, $114 million contract. But Dallas is not the only one that has their eyes on Mike Conley.
No.
Guess who else who might have a little bit of sway in terms of success and franchise and so on and so forth? Can you guess who it is?
No.
San Antonio Spurs are going after him because guess what? They're trying to replace one Tony Parker.
That's interesting.
And that would, I mean, hello.
I still feel
because
like they're all going to.
He plays defense.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely.
I feel like they're all going to retire at the same time, all the Spurs. They need to wait out of respect.
Out of respect.
That'd be kind of a blow to the head.
So, yeah, to get to your point, there's probably 28 of the 30 teams in the league that would say, hey, Mike Conley would be a hell of a player to have on our team.
Yes.
Because who Mike Conley? I do it all the time, don't I?
I just noticed it yesterday.
I don't even recognize
it. I know
it.
You know Mike Conley. I know you know how to be Conley.
And I spell his name
I'm writing it out. I specifically remember a couple of your stand-ups last year on the TV. You said Mike Conley. But then yesterday you started going Conley, like Kevin Conley.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
And you know what? My name is Kati Christiansen.
Kati Christiansen, the son of Christian. We were going to do Vlade here, but Vlade is a little bit. We don't want to run over too far. So if you're waiting for Vlade Dios, we're going to lead off at 7 o'clock with Vlade's comments from last night. Let's run through in these last couple minutes of the segment, Katie. Why don't we run through some reactions from the text line?
I'm interested.
And guys, I'll be real honest here. Unless it's profane, I'm not going to skip it, and I'm just going to read them right in order: good, bad, indifferent. So you can kind of get an idea. I'm not going to jump good to bad, good to bad. I'm going right in order based on the draft last night. Hey, the guy who texted said, I apologize. You're right. I wasn't listening to now.
Hey,
all right, well, hey, thank
don't
you.
Worry. We won't hold it against you.
We accept your apology. Thank you for listening. Can you guys elaborate on DeMarcus Cousins' snake in the grass emojis? What do you think the meaning of that is?
That was from last year.
That was George Karl.
We can elaborate on his one last night, which we alluded to earlier, which was just...
those hands praying.
It was the praying hands, and it was like...
And I always like how DeMarcus makes sure when he does his emojis, he always does them color-specific, too. He always tries to match.
Everybody does.
I didn't know that. I just hit the emoji, whether it's dark, light, whatever.
Yeah,
I just hit the emoji.
Because you can set it.
Right. And DeMarcus holds down...
When I changed my hair color, I went from blonde to brunette. I changed my emoji.
So some people say DeMarcus just tweets from the hip. No. He puts effort in. He holds down the button.
Do you remember exactly what it said? It was like,
say, Lord, give me the strength.
Lord, give me the strength with the praying
hands.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you where this is coming from. I can see that maybe DeMarcus has some questions, like everybody else, in terms of what happened in the draft. Because he knows what they need around him. He knows that he needs a point guard, and he knows that they need some help at the shooting guard. And then they drafted, some big guys. So I get that. So I take no issue with that.
Here's the reality with DeMarcus Cousins, and I know this is going to sound a little bit strange, but this is the reality for DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins has been in the league 6 years, okay?
Going on his seventh.
Guess what? DeMarcus Cousins probably has less time left than he does having been in the leagues this long. And what I'm trying to
like a 12 to 14 year
he's
career.
He's got like 4 years left of his prime.
Prime.
He's a big man. He's a big man who, by the way, has had an
Achilles,
ankle issue, a foot issue,
feet.
An Achilles issue. Do those usually get better over time? So DeMarcus,
especially on that frame.
He's 26 years old. He's got to 30.
Yeah.
He has 4 years left in this league, and he spent six of them in this cesspool.
What else do we got on the text line?
We got a break here, so we'll end with this one. Guys, who would have thought that Britain would leave and Sacramento would join the European Union? I actually I find that rather rather nice. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Speaking of Euros, Vlade Divac is going to explain Q&A last night.
We're
going
to play the sound. Yeah,
we'll play the sound from Vlade Divac last night. Many of you probably missed that. It was rather late. We'll play Vlade next, talking about the draft and the Q&A. We'll just play the whole thing. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.